The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Tuesday night as the Flames fall just short in Utah tonight. Your final score, 3-1. Utah seals it with an empty net goal with less than 20 seconds to go, but the Flames put it all out there once again, especially in period number three. So they go 1-1-1 on this road trip. Now 8 games to go for the Flames this season. Flames Talk postgame, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan. My name is Pat Steinberg. Phone lines open at 403-240-4444. Text line at 960-960. Let's say hello to Megan Mickelson, color voice of the Flames as well. Boy, Mick, the Flames had not won a game against Utah coming in. Marquee matchup on the pregame show brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. We were talking about that, you know, trying to avoid the sweep and also pick up a huge 2 points. And hey, they were outmatched for the first 30 minutes or so, but that final 30, they dug deep. They found a way to find their legs again. Unfortunately, Utah had picked up a 2-0 lead by that point, and on this night, just couldn't quite come all the way back.
Yeah, and I think that's what's becoming, you know, really hard for the group. And Morgan Frost touched on it a little bit post-game with Wilsey, in that, you know, you can't keep climbing your way back in games. And, you know, you have to find ways to play with leads as well. So it's a really exhausting way to play, to always try to keep fighting your way back. And, you know, whether you play better when you're behind or with a lead, I mean, at the end of the day, it is mentally and physically more exhausting when you're continuously fighting and clawing and scratching your way back into games. But I do give the group a ton of credit. I mean, you're on the second half of a back-to-back. Yeah. You look at the game that they played last night, how hard they had to work to come back and win that one. And then the travel right after the game, you're getting in late, you're not getting a great sleep. And then, you know, the day today as well, you're trying to get your rest and recover as much as you can. But it's hard, like on back-to-backs where you don't have, you know, a morning skate, you're not getting your legs going, getting yourself going like you normally would on a game day. Like it is really hard. So it's getting later and later in the season. These guys have had a really tough travel schedule. I'm not making excuses for them, but you can see why, you know, they maybe didn't have the juice and the energy off the start. And then the more you get into it, the more you get rolling, you know, the better you play. And I really thought that, you know, some physicality in the second period. I know you and I were texting as to how that all came about, if it was Jonathan Huberdeau that laid out Ian Cole or Mackenzie Weegar running some interference, however that happened. I thought it gave them some life. And then their game, you know, was much better from there on. But, you know, in this one, it was just too little too late. And then they couldn't find a way to possess the puck a little bit more later on to be able to pull Dustin Wolf and get more opportunities with the goaltender on the bench. So, I mean, it's a tough one. But like Morgan Frost mentioned, you just have to kind of turn the page quickly and move on.
Marquee matchup for Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck and demo blowout is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until September 2025. Mick, let's select a hardest working Flame in this game tonight. Which way are you leaning for the hardest working Flame?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Joel Farabee. I just thought that he was one of the guys for me from start to finish that, you know, played with a little bit of an edge. And I think it was a tough night for him in that he was bounced around the lineup. He was put up with Kadri and Pospisil. I don't think he'd ever played with those two guys. And so in a game like this on a back-to-back and, you know, the stakes of this game, that's a lot of pressure. I think he ended up playing on 3 different lines over the course of the game, but was just... He was driving the net. He was, you know, he took a stick to the face. I just thought that he was competitive all night long, and that's the bite and the edge that the Flames need to play with.
Last point, Joel Farabee is your hardest working Flame following a 3-1 loss in Utah. Last question, Mick. Hey, again, this is a tough one, and you wanted the 2 points tonight. St. Louis wins again, but now this group, their belief just doesn't waver, does it? And I don't expect that to change going down the stretch. Do you?
No, and I mean, they're competitors, these guys. That they've shown that all season long. And, you know, I think that at the end of the day, like, you never know what's going to happen with the other teams. You just have to focus on continuing to put yourself in the best spot possible. Like, you don't know. St. Louis could drop a bunch in a row here. And if you string together a bunch of wins, you put yourself in a pretty good position. Or the Minnesota Wild. Like, you never know. So, at the end of the day, you have to, if there's still a chance, you know, you have to place all of your belief in that and make sure that you're still showing up every single day, putting your best foot forward and doing everything that's in your control to put yourself in the best position possible. But yeah, I don't think these guys are going away.
No, and whether it ends up being where they want it to be or not, I think we're talking about a team that's going to go right till, at least that belief will be right until the very end. Okay, Mick, we will see you on Thursday, friend. Thank you so much, as always.
Okay, thanks, Pat.
That is Megan Mickelson signing off from Salt Lake City. She just texted me right now. I just texted me that it's not a quick bus. I wasn't sure if they were leaving tonight or not. But anyway, Mick, go enjoy your Tuesday night in Salt Lake. The Flames fall this one. 3-1 is the final score. They lose to the Utah Hockey Club. So elimination numbers look like this. The Flames will have their elimination number on St. Louis fall to 4.5 or 9 points. It will fall to 5 or 10 points on the Minnesota Wild. So that means any points gained by Minnesota or lost by Calgary equaling 10, or any points gained by St. Louis or lost by Calgary equaling 9 would spell elimination for the Flames. I really did like the way that they fought hard, though, in that third period. I give them a lot of credit. I really do. I didn't know if they were going to have the energy and the wherewithal to do it, but they came close to tying it a number of times. But as Mick said, sometimes when you put yourself in a spot where you have to play from behind, you're not going to be able to come all the way back. And that's just the nature of this league. And so they spotted Utah a 2-0 lead, and they got the one back on the seeing eye shot from Anderson. But sometimes you're just not going to be able to come all the way back. And that was the case this evening. Let's go from the Flames dressing room now, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's start with the head coach, as Ryan Huska just wrapped up on the road in Salt Lake following a 3-1 loss to Utah.
I thought we had a good push in the third period. Portions of the second period we didn't like. I thought the first period was okay until the later portion where we started giving up too many chances.
Like, it took a little while for your team to find their game.
That's a good question. Travel, maybe, you know, back to back. But I felt like once the, you know, the emotion came into the game with some of the scrums in the second period, that's when our game got better. So when you're attached to a game physically, there's a tendency to play better, and I thought that's when our play picked up from that point.
So it was the goal, you thought it was the physical play that got things kind of moving in your favor?
The goal that we scored?
Yeah.
No, I think it was more guys getting attached to the physical side of the game.
The lines a little bit. Did that have the intended effect? I know you didn't score again, but did you see a little bit a more jump from your team?
Third period was our best period. You know, we'd like to have kept the lines the same, but there wasn't a lot going on. So you try to give a spark where you can in those situations.
How would you sum up this road trip?
I'd sum it up as there was a lot of good stretches the way our team played on this road trip. And I thought they played hard every game they played. Now it's a challenge for us to make sure that we go home and we play our best hockey of the year. So we have to find a way to win our games at home. And that's going to be a crucial thing for us here moving forward.
What did you see from Wolfie? He's obviously played a ton of games down the stretch here. How do you like his coming back to the lineup tonight?
Yeah, I thought he was fine. Yeah.
Does that energy that you guys had in the third period give you guys just a little positive boost when you go back home?
There's a positive boost the way our team works all the time. So it's got nothing to do with third period. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska. You can tell not super happy with the final result. And that's now 16 points on the table. 8 more games to go for the Flames as they'll return home and take on Anaheim on Thursday, Vegas on Saturday. Let's also hear from Calgary's goal scorer tonight. Rasmus Anderson spoke post-game inside the Flames locker room tonight as well.
All right. Take us through it. What did you see from your own team tonight?
I thought it was up and out first. A little bit too many forced errors, too many turnovers, and second, third period, I thought we were pushing, and their goalie made some big saves, and this one sucks. I thought we, played good enough to at least get out of here with 2-2, and we couldn't get that tying goal.
It did seem that you guys came out a little bit flat in the first. Why did it take you a while to find your game? Was Utah doing something to?
I mean, it's sometimes it's like that on a back to back. I thought we hung in there, and at this time of the year, it shouldn't even be an excuse. It's it's desperate times, and I thought the first period was one good shift, two bad shift kind of, and cost us one, and then. Unlucky bounce on the second goal, but we're still down one by going into the third, and we have some good looks, and we just can't put it behind their goalie.
Where did the momentum shift in that second period? Was it your goal or something else that happened that kind of?
Yeah, I mean, I just thought we got energy from the goal, and we kept pushing, and we had a lot of looks, but as I said, we just couldn't get the 2-2 puck behind them.
How do you sum up this road trip?
Yeah, 3 out of 6 points. At this time, we probably need one or two more points, and not good enough.
There you go. Rasmus Anderson, not good enough is his thought on this 3-game road trip where they get 3 of 6. An overtime loss in Edmonton, big win last night in the shootout in Colorado, and then, of course, the regulation loss to Utah tonight. 3-1 ends up being your final score. That's your look inside the Flames dressing room tonight. From the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Just wanted to pass along some good news on the Calgary hockey front. The Calgary Hitmen take a 4-1 win on the road in Saskatoon on this Tuesday night, so they have now opened up a 3-0 series lead on the Saskatoon Blades in that first round series, and the Hitmen have got an opportunity to win that series tomorrow, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock face-off here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, and we'll be on the air at 6 o'clock with your Hitmen pregame show. Matty Rose will take you through that. So that's Wednesday. Hitmen now with a 3-0 series lead on the Saskatoon Blades. Big 4-1 win tonight for the Hitmen. They are trying to get themselves back to the second round of the Western Hockey League playoffs. Azam, tell me if I'm wrong, but this will be the first time the Hitmen win a playoff series since 2015. If my research is correct, they've been in the playoffs, but 2019 would be the last time they won a playoff series. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, because they had a big great during the COVID season, but then that got canceled with the team, so they looked like they were going to be poised for more than just the second round there, but COVID obviously shut that down, and then 2 years ago they were reverse swept, kind of gentleman's sweep, I would say, 5 games by the Red Deer Rebels in round one.
So the Calgary Hitmen now have a 3-0 series lead on Saskatoon. They'll look for the sweep on Wednesday night. Matty Rose, pregame 6, puck drop 7 for the Hitmen and Blades as Calgary looks to advance to the second round for the first time since 2019. Okay, this is your Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Call now. I have got 3 lines open if you want to chat on this Tuesday night, 403-240-4444. So jump in right now if you want to chat on the phone lines, and keep your text coming at 960-960. As well, lots of text to get to on this Tuesday night. My name is Pat Steinberg. Flames Talk postgame is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And live right here, this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, your final score from Delta Center in Utah. The Flames just quite have enough tonight. 3-1, the final score. They lose to the Utah Hockey Club. Utah sweeps the season series in regulation, taking all six games. Couple that with a pulled out of the fire night for the St. Louis Blues. Jordan Kyrou, with less than 30 seconds to go, breaks the shutout, and that sends a game to overtime, tied 1-1, and then Cam Fowler wins it in overtime. Blues have now won 10 in a row. And just like that, the Flames fall that much further back. So elimination number, as I mentioned, falls to 5.0 or 10 points to Minnesota and 4.5 or 9 points to St. Louis, which means, you know, that much less breathing room between now and the end of the regular season. But 8 games to go, 16 games still left on the 16 points rather still left on the table. See what the Flames can do with it. You know, the Flames fought hard in the third period, but they did come out slow on the second half of a back-to-back, and at times they did look gassed tonight. They did look like they were on the third game in four nights. They looked like they were on the second half of back-to-back, and they looked like they had a tough time again dealing with Utah's speed, much like for a good chunk, 45 minutes or so last night. They had a real difficult time dealing with Colorado's speed. I think for the first 40 minutes of this hockey game, they had a tough time dealing with Utah's speed. And, you know, they were pretty lucky to only be down by 2 and then only be down by 1 after 40. Let's also not forget that. Dustin Wolf, I thought, was spectacular. We'll get to him in just a second. But they, you know, Utah hit, what, 2 crossbars and a couple posts or whatever it was. Just missed out a couple of other grade A's. I mean, even though the Flames had a 6-1 edge in high dangers in the third period, the high dangers were still 13-6 in favor of Utah at 5-on-5 and 14-8 overall. Utah was extremely dangerous in taking that 2-0 lead, couldn't turn it into a more lopsided score, which kept the Flames in it. Dustin Wolf was a big part of that, but at the same time, a Flames team that, you know, struggles to score, you're not always going to be able to erase that 2-goal deficit, right? I mean, that's the other part of this situation, is that the Flames still remain the 30th ranked team in goals for at 2.59 goals per game. And so a 2-goal deficit is a little bit more daunting for the Flames than it is for other teams. And on this night, they could not come all the way back, couldn't find that second goal to maybe scratch out a point in this one. You know, they scored the 2 goals in 32 seconds last night in Denver to erase the 2-0 lead. And that was, you know, going against the flow for the most part. Probably didn't deserve to win that one last night, all things considered, but the heart and the belief was there, and it was there again tonight after falling down 2-0, but they just couldn't. You know, sometimes the hockey gods aren't going to smile on you when you're down 2-0, or sometimes the other goalie, and Karel Vomelka in his 18th consecutive start, was out of his mind in the third period, was very, very good. I don't think the Flames got goalied in this game, but Vomelka was very good in the third period. I think better than Wedgewood was in the third period for Colorado. So yeah, I mean, you can't knock this team's fight. You can't knock this team's belief, and you can't knock this team's faith in what they have the capability of doing in the third period. I mean, Vomelka makes, I'm watching it right now on the TV melt that they're showing on our raw feed. And I mean, that opportunity for Coleman where he comes in, gets the right pad stop, and then another right pad stop from Vomelka. And the Flames were that close to tying it. Even Huberdeau had that late opportunity right before Utah sent it into the empty net. So, hey, I don't anticipate this group giving up their fight at any point. I still think this team is going to fight right till the very end, whether or not they are eliminated or not. I still think there's going to be an absolute ton of fight in this group between now and the end of the regular season, and I just don't see this group at any point waving any white flag. And so that's why I think they're going to be right in it and putting together another solid effort against Anaheim on Thursday night. I said we'd get to Dustin Wolf, and we will right now. It's time for the save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. Wolf back in net after Vladar was outstanding last night, and Dustin Wolf's save of the game comes in period number 2.
Here's Gunther, left point to Simone. Snaps a pass into the near corner. It bounces away from Keller, and now to the captain, who centers Gunther, another shot, and Wolf, another save.
And that ends up being one of the 25 stops made by Dustin Wolf tonight. And that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. And I thought Wolf was the primary reason why this was not over after 40 minutes of play. I thought Dustin Wolf was really, really strong in this game. The two goals that beat him, I don't know what you're expecting from him on those. And the way that he kept it within two with some spectacular stops at 1-0 and 2-0. Very, very notable for me. Now, here's the interesting thing. Who do you go to against Anaheim on Thursday night? It's been more than or almost a full month since the last home start for Dan Vladar. He's 5-1-1 in his last seven starts. I'd give it a lot of thought going to Dan Vladar against Anaheim and Wolf Saturday against Vegas. I really would. I'm really interested to see what the Flames do in another crucial game on Thursday. If you ask me right now, I'm like 60-40, I'd go Vladar in that game. And that's, you're talking to a huge Dustin Wolf fan over here. But I think I might go Vladar against the Ducks on Thursday. I really do. We'll see. Let's get to the text line at 960-960. And that's taking nothing away from what Wolf did tonight, because I thought he was very, very good. I just think you've got another goalie who's playing really well right now. He's won, he's got points in six of his last seven starts. He's 5-1-1 at the most important time of the year. I just think that there's a real argument to be made about going to Vladar on Thursday. And Wolf was not even 1% of the reason why they lost this game tonight. To the text line, 960-960. TJ in Calgary's kicking us off. NHL, no handy lenses. With the size of backup cameras attached to rears of vehicles, and the NHL still can't figure out technology, the sole part of the game is to score and no proper cameras to get it right. Solution, contact NASA, pay them to figure it out. Flames got robbed again, signed Marty Jelena. Look, if you're asking me, I thought that was a goal, but, and I think common sense tells you that's a goal, but the angle that I saw, I didn't see the requisite criteria to overturn it on the ice, and it was not called a goal on the ice. I didn't see, and again, maybe you did, and but in the angles that I saw, and maybe your eyes see it differently than mine, and that's fine. I didn't see white ice between the puck and the red line. And you need to see white ice. And apparently the situation room said it was definitive that there was not white ice. I know some disagree, and I get it. And a lot of calls have gone against the Flames from the situation room recently. So I get there's a little bit of, you know, you're a little raw on that front in a lot of ways if you're a Flames fan. I thought it probably was a goal, but the criteria wasn't met. There wasn't the conclusive evidence that it was over the line based on what I saw. It was like an eyelash, but that's how I would look at it. And it sucks because 32 seconds later, Utah scored the game-winning goal. And I understand the frustration. This says bench Wolf for the rest of the year. The team plays better for Vladar and Coleman is useless. Coleman was like the best player on the ice or one of the best players on the ice for the Flames. So Daryl's grumpy. I don't think you're benching Wolf the rest of the season. That makes no sense. Wolf, they played just as poorly and or well in front of Vladar last night as they did for Wolf tonight. Daryl's got something against Wolf. He's really anti-Wolf. It's very, very strange. He's a very grumpy texter. I'll just let him continue to be grumpy. And Coleman's not useless. He was one of their better players tonight. This reads, Pat, I'm at my breaking point with Jake Bean. What is his purpose? He doesn't do much at all. Zero offense, horrendous defensively. He's not physical. There's zero intensity. What does he do? There needs to be a point where we see a guy like Kuznetsov for the Wranglers take his spot. Wes Gilbertson did a great piece on him recently where Kuznetsov mentioned that Ball's a role model for him and he wants to play the same shutdown physical style. That's exactly the type of presence this team needs on the back end right now. He needs to be up here. He'll be a massive upgrade over Bean. Do you agree? And what's holding them back from making that switch? I have not liked that third pairing for quite some time. It's not just Bean, Miramanov. has not been super strong, had a little run of three or four games where he was a little better, but and Pahal's game has dropped off. Obviously scored the big goal and had a good game against Edmonton, but generally from the first half to the second half of the season, I think Pahal's game has dropped off. Bean has had his moments. I think that, you know, he got into a nice groove in kind of December, January, leading into the Four Nations break. I thought Bean had really gotten into a groove and was playing pretty well. And it helped solidify that third pairing with Pahal. Since the Four Nations break, though, I feel like Bean has struggled. Now, bringing Kuznetsov in, I don't mind the idea. I really don't. I think the Flames would be reticent in doing that because they feel like they're going to go with the guys they trust who have gotten them to this point. But I don't mind the idea. I'd have no problem if they tried it. I just am not going to hold my breath that they do. Jeremiah in Regina says, Pat, that was a tough one. Seriously, though, I think we all knew how this was going to end after yet another horrible NHL review. I still don't understand how the NHL can confirm that play. Confirm, not the call is inconclusive and stands as is. They confirmed it. What is that? How is that conclusive? It is what it is, but that one baffles me. The problem is, and I don't know, I mean, the you need to have the conclusive evidence to overturn. And again, just based on what I saw, and I don't have all the angles, I didn't see, I was like, that's probably a goal, but I don't know. I was sitting here with Matty Rose. I said, I think that's a goal, but I don't know if they're going to overturn it and call it a goal. It sucks, though. I'm not going to lie. Stu on Vancouver Island, when is the NHL going to implement goal line technology? If tennis can get it down to a science, there is zero reason why the NHL cannot implement it. Seems ludicrous in this day and age. It's 2025. Get it done already. Also, why aren't they riding the hot glove of Vladar? What are the Flames afraid of? Vemelka just started 18 in a row and still played lights out. There goes the playoffs. High fives to everyone on Team Tank. Okay, a couple things. I agree wholeheartedly on the technology. Soccer doesn't. European soccer does it. World Cup does it. They've got the goal line technology in high-level soccer. They've got the technology in tennis. So the technological ability is there, and I'd have no problem if they, you know, made it so that there was some sort of technological, if I don't know how they do it. I'm not that smart, but I feel like it's 2025, and to Stu's point, the technology has to exist. So I'm with you on that front. As for riding the hot glove of Vladar, I still don't think you needed to force it going to him on the second half of back-to-back. Yes, I get it. Vemelka's played 18 in a row. That's not ideal. And playing a guy on the second half of back-to-back, I don't know, especially when Wolf has been your number one guy for the vast majority of the season, I think you would have been outthinking yourself to do that. I thought going to Vladar was the right call against the Avalanche. In fact, I kind of thought maybe going Vladar against Edmonton, Vladar against Utah, and Wolf against Colorado doesn't really matter. Second half of the back-to-back, I think you force it and outthink yourself if you play the same guy on the second half. Now, if they were to go to Vladar against Anaheim on Thursday, would have no problem with that. And I think that's the way I would be leaning, but I don't think that they made a mistake by not going to Vladar tonight. Also, Stu, this game had nothing to do with Dustin Wolf. Wolf was awesome. Wolf is the biggest reason why they had a chance to come back and tie it. So I don't know what the frustration would be. Like, you're telling me that Vladar, and they win this game? I don't, like, no. This is, it was not a goaltending night. There's a night where they couldn't score and they were out-attempted, or rather out-chanced at high danger 13-2 through 40 minutes of play. That's not a goaltending loss. So, you know, I don't think they made the wrong call going to Wolf tonight. I would vehemently disagree with that. Claude says, Pat, 0-3 versus Utah's disappointing. A nightmare relapse from 0-4, and lo and behold, they lose by essentially one goal. I cringe my teeth every time I check the scoreboard and see what St. Louis is doing. That I think those guys have long sailed. This says, well, Patty, at the end of the day, all you can do is laugh. St. Louis comes back in the last 30 seconds of their game to win it. Also, why did Huska pull the goalie when the game was tied 2-2? That's a good question. I get what you're saying. This from Murray in the Ranchlands. Well, the fat lady may not be singing yet, but she's certainly warming up. The Flames were fun to watch this year, and they were definitely the hardest working team in the NHL, which is admirable. This reads, Pat, I just wish one time I turned the TV on or listened to a radio in Calgary. The Flames were not always behind by a couple of goals. It's just been like that since 2004. And they do play all right from behind, but you still give yourself a worse chance of winning when you're playing from behind than ahead. There's your Sherlock Holmes moment of the night. Joel and Cranston, three losses to Utah. That explains the last three seasons. Can't beat teams below them. No scoring. Backlund can't score or win faceoffs. This was never a playoff team. Yeah, Backlund did struggle on the faceoff dot tonight. Went 4-12 at just 25%. As for them not beating teams below them, they've actually, I think, done a pretty good job of doing that this year. They have had a harder time beating the teams ahead of them as opposed to beating the teams below them. And Utah is just 2 points back of the Flames now. So this was a little bit like this wasn't San Jose or Chicago or Nashville or Buffalo, right? Stafford and Hillhurst. Well, Pat, the Flames gave it a good run, but I think the dream ended tonight with St. Louis getting the overtime win. Their fate's pretty much been sealed. Had you told me at the beginning of the season their playoff hopes would not be determined until April, I would have told you were crazy. This plucky group gave us a season to be proud of. I, among many, applaud their efforts, and every player to a man on this squad can hold their heads high. Looking forward to next season, the youth movement is alive and kicking. This year it was Wolf, Coronado, and Zeri. Can't wait to see what other prospects move up the chain next year. Looking forward to next season already. Brett says, impact what we're talking about. This says, how does the NHL not have any accountability after these three no-goal calls in the last few games? Absolutely ridiculous that video review can still be so wrong. There's too much money in betting and in team revenues to allow this to happen. There was the two in the Dallas game. One of them I thought should have counted. The other one I thought they got right. The goalie interference call, and they got 100% right. I've even talked to two people with the team who would know, and they said, yeah, unfortunately, they did get that right. Farabee made contact with, who was the goalie that night? Thank you, Azam. Made contact with Casey DeSmith in the blue paint, and it impeded him even slightly in making the stop. And as such, they're going to call that goalie interference all day, every day this season, and they did. So that call they got right. The Zeri goal that he allegedly kicked in, I don't agree with. I think that he was trying to avoid running into DeSmith and, yes, redirected his skate, but his skate wasn't off the ground, and I still don't think that was a kicking motion. So that one was frustrating, and this one, I think we've talked about this one tonight. Rick in Lakeview says, bummer result, Pat. The Flames look tired and disorganized for too large a portion of this one. Overpassing, pretty moments again. A frost of caution there. Dubious goal review again. Dubious second goal against again. Wolf great otherwise. Urgency mid-game was lacking. If this group could elevate its finishing percentage on ample opportunities, it would be worth another 10-plus points. Better results Thursday, let's hope. That's from Rick in Lakeview. Tim in Hillhurst says, everyone needs to chill out and acknowledge the Flames are playing meaningful hockey in April. That was not on the bingo card at the start of the season. Not making the show sucks, but the focus should be on building on this for next season. And they're not out of it yet. I mean, yes, they're shorter strokes than they were, and the climb is back to steeper than it was after last night, but they're not done yet. This says, Farabee showed signs of life tonight. I agree. So does Megan Mickelson. That's why she named him Hardest Working Flame. Ash says, it's now six straight games without a regulation win. In today's game, I don't think Vemelka had to make any spectacular saves. To me, the Flames look slow and unable to execute any clean passes in the O zone. Considering the top nine were kept off the score sheet last game, I figured they would produce today. Finally, I would scratch Bean in favor of moving Uyghur back to the left side to play with Miramanov next game and pairing Hanley with Pahal. To me, Bean has been a liability lately. In all honesty, I don't think he's been a great fit in his first year as a Flame. I personally think it's worth considering trading him in the offseason if it means they can re-sign Hanley to be the bottom pair defenseman with Pahal for next year. I already know your thoughts on re-signing Hanley, but what about trading Bean? I mean, if they were to go down that road, and that then I'd be a whole lot more in favor of re-signing Hanley. For sure I would. The other part about scratching Bean for Miramanov, I wouldn't do that. I just wouldn't. You're too deep in the season. The points mean too much. You're fighting tooth and nail. I'm not splitting apart Hanley and Uyghur. I'm not, and I'm not moving Uyghur back to the left. He's been on the right for too long. What I might do, though, is what the earlier texter suggested. I'd consider bringing Kuznetsov in and putting him on the left side. I'm not convinced the Flames would do that, but I would do that before I would move Miramanov and put him on with Uyghur. This says if the Flames don't win versus the Ducks, I think they're cooked. The Blues don't want to lose. Mid-round pick once again in a weak draft. That comes from Josh. This says Murray, another Murray. That sounded like a tough one. Chasing games every night can't be an easy way to play. Boy sounded tired. Let's hope someone in front of you stumbles soon or it's going to be a tough battle. Looks like they're into win every night territory from here on out. Keep the text coming at 960-960. Great stuff so far as the Flames fall 3-1 on the road in Utah tonight. This is your Flames Talk post-game show. It's Pat Steinberg along with you at 960-960 on the text line. Phone lines open at 403-240-4444. Got a couple lines open right now if you want to chat on a Tuesday night. Flames Talk post-game on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's kick it off tonight by saying hello to our buddy Eugenio. What's going on, Eugenio?
Hey, Pat. Wow, first call.
You're VIP, baby.
I don't think I've ever been first call. I feel honored. How you been?
Hanging in, man. I am hanging in. It's been an interesting ride the last couple of weeks, but I'm hanging in. How are you?
Good, man. Good. No complaints. Nice Real Madrid win today, hey? Did you see that game?
I sure did. Boy, they like to pull it out of their behinds, don't they? And I really like Sociedad. I love San Sebastian Donostia, so I quite like Real Sociedad. But, off to the Copa del Rey final, and they're probably going to play Barcelona for another Clásico, which scares me because Barca's just walked them in their two games so far. So, but, yeah, it was a good game. Burnabout was pumping.
And you got Arsenal next week. So, yeah, it's exciting times for you guys, not so much for Juve right now.
Juve didn't do so well.
Yeah.
It's Bayern and Inter. Are we big Bayern guys now? Because, you know, Robert loves his Inter. So, are you a big Bayern guy now?
Truthfully, I'm 50-50 on it. Like, okay. I'd like to see Italian teams try to win it, but then at the end of the day, I don't really like Inter at AC, so I don't know. I'm like on the fence both ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't listened too much of it. I've listened to a little bit. I just have a couple questions. So the Dallas game, the Zari goal, I thought should have been a goal.
Agreed.
Yeah. Now the goaltender interference goal, I agree with what you say that there was contact, but wasn't DeSmith out of the blue crease?
Nope. If you go back and look, he was in his crease. So basically, here's what the NHL, and again, I've talked to some people with the league and I've talked to some people with the Flames. The Flames aren't upset about that one. They're the people that look. I've talked to a couple people. Basically, what the NHL has decided and communicated to the teams is the crease is the goaltender's work area. So you're allowed to go in there. You can go into their office, but if you impede him in his office and a goal is scored, they're going to call it back 100% of the time. And so Farabee was in the crease and did make contact with DeSmith in the blue paint. And so that was an easy one. And you may not like it and you may think it's silly or you may not agree with the way the NHL is calling it, but I will give the league credit in that specific bubble or that in a vacuum, they have called that consistently all year long. However, one thing they have not called consistently is what constitutes a distinct kicking motion. And yes, I agree wholeheartedly that the Zary goal should have counted. And the fact that it didn't is still quite baffling to me because I still don't see a distinct kicking motion. And you know what? 3 years later, I still don't see a distinct kicking motion on Blake Coleman's goal in game five. Yeah. I don't know what a distinct kicking motion is. That silliness, I thought the Zary goal should have counted. But the Coleman goal that got waved off and on the Farabee interference, I do think they made the right call.
Okay. And then tonight, I'm like, you know, it's so tough to overturn. So you called it, you know, the play carried on, so it was no goal. But then Sportsnet showed an angle where, honestly, you could see a little bit of white ice. Like, it's very small, but you can see a little bit of white. But again, it's really tough to overturn. So I think it's like what you had just said. I think it's time to bring in like they do in soccer. You got to just go with the goal line technology. Yeah.
And I don't, like, I know it's probably not easy to implement. Like, I don't think it's like, oh, we'll just blink our eyes and implement it. But I also think it's possible. And you know, do you want something like that to bite you in the playoffs? I would suggest probably not. So, you know, if they were to implement goal line technology in the NHL, I'd be all for it.
Well, you know what, man? I'm really proud of this team, though. You're right, 100%. These last two games, we didn't play well. We got very lucky to win last night, and then today I thought Utah took it to us for the first 40 minutes. I thought we were better in the third. But even though that's the case, I'm really proud of this team. They don't give up. You know, we don't have the talent that other teams got, but, you know, they fight every night, man. And, yeah, we most likely are going to miss the playoffs, but you never know. There's still a chance to catch Mini. Mini drops a couple of these games, and we win a couple of the games. We play them next week. You never know. But I think the fans should be proud of this team this year. I really do. I think.
And I think they are. I really do think they are, my man. Like, I think that even the most ardent Team Tank supporter, I think they really are proud of what this group has done this year.
Yeah, I think they deserve. And you know what? With Trev, I had my doubts about him, but I really fully have full faith in Conroy. I think we're in the right direction here. Would you, I'll let you go because I know you got a lot of callers, but would you offer any, if you had your choice here, offer an RFA to anyone this offseason?
Like an offer sheet?
Yeah.
I haven't looked close enough at, you know, who would be out there. So
Would you offer sheet Morgan Nyes?
Matthew Nyes, rather, in Toronto?
Matthew Nyes.
I mean, I'd think about it, sure. Just to stick it to Tree, why not? I say that in jest, but I mean, I would think about it. I think that Toronto will sign him, but if that goes into, like, if that turns into a little bit of a stalemate because of Toronto's cap situation, yeah, I'd think about it. I think Nyes is a heck of an exciting player. So, I would definitely think about it.
And you know what? I think, like, I know a lot of fans are, you know, it sucks if we don't make the playoffs and everything, but I think we should be excited. I think we have a really good core going on right now. We have a franchise goalie. We've got Coronado. We've got Zari. We're going to get some more young guys in. We got Zane coming up in the next year or two. I'm really excited for the future of this team. And, you know, I haven't been able to say that much in the past, so it's good to have that feeling.
You know what? And this is not a shot at you at all, but you are typically pretty cynical about the direction of this team. So that's pretty impressive to hear, my man. The only thing I'd say on Nyes, the more I think about it, he's still a left shot and he's a left winger. They still need right shots. Now he's 22 and a really good player, so I still think there's merit to it, but it doesn't solve their biggest issue, which is a center iceman. But I still think that there would be, I think it'd be interesting anyway to take a look at it for sure.
And you know who looks really good is Cousins in Ottawa, but what can you do?
Yeah, I know. The problem is, doesn't feel like the Flames had the right guys to be able to get him out of Buffalo. Buffalo seemed like they really wanted Norris, and I don't know, I guess outside of Frost, there's not really a Norris comparable in Calgary. And with Norris's size and upside, I don't think with what Buffalo was looking for that the Flames had the requisite pieces to make that happen.
For sure. All right, Pat, I'll squeeze in another call before season's end. But honestly, this offseason, let's try to honestly get together. I know we've said this a couple years now, but.
I am 100% with you. Let's make it happen, dude.
Okay, man. All right. You have a good rest of the night.
Okay. Thanks, Eugenio.
Thanks, Pat.
Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. We call this double dipping. We call this the Sportsnet double shot. You know, our boy Dan Peterson was on the Sportsnet broadcast on television on Sportsnet West with Rye. And now Dan, he said he was going to do it. He was said he always calls in when he goes on the road. Dan joins us right now. He and Adrian were on the road again in Utah. Dano, my man, how are we doing?
Good. What's up, Patty? How you doing?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. I'm glad to hear you guys made the trek okay.
Yeah, it was been an adventure for sure. We are used to driving for most road trips, and we spent a lot of flying this time around, but good times.
Oh, you didn't drive down today for this one, hey?
No, we flew.
Okay. All right. Well, it's a little quicker.
So when we did Chicago and St. Louis earlier in the year, we had some travel hiccups, which led to some flight credits, which led to this trip.
Oh, so there were some hiccups on your first trip of the year. That's why you're doing two this year.
That's correct.
Oh, I did not know that. I just thought you guys were going hardcore and doing two this year.
It was something we talked about and then weren't sure we were going to make it happen. And then it did. So,
well, I'm glad, I saw you guys on TV. You guys look gorgeous. Tell Adrian, he looks great. That's what I like to see.
Oh, I do.
Oh yeah.
What do we think, Dano?
The atmosphere in both buildings. We were in Denver last night.
Yeah, you're in Denver, and then tonight in Salt Lake.
Yeah. The atmosphere in Denver, boy, people say that's a hockey city, and you know, a lot of places say that and then they don't deliver, but Denver very much did. Great fans and great atmosphere in that building. It was electric in there, and then tonight. For a new building, Utah definitely impressed as well. There's obviously still some sightline issues, being the first year and that it was designed for basketball, but, the fan base is already, you know, building and well into it. So, yeah, it's been a fun trip.
I'm glad you guys were able to do it. What'd you think of the game?
You know what? Like, the first two periods, we were a little sluggish. Faceoffs just absolutely, unfortunately, killed the boys tonight. But big third period, and I mean, the effort was, you could see the effort there the entire time, which is what I love about this team personally. They're never really out of it.
Yeah.
And so it's been a fun year to watch. And that's also part of the reason for the second trip is they're never getting blown out. So it's, you know, it's worth making the trek.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. When do you boys come back?
Saturday.
Oh, you're staying around for a little bit. What's next on the itinerary?
So we're off to Vegas tomorrow.
Okay.
For a few days to see some friends that we met through hockey when we were in LA on the LA Anaheim trip last year. And so we're doing 3 days in Vegas, including Jets versus Golden Knights on Thursday night.
Ooh, okay.
And then We're taking a chance. So we're flying home Saturday, landing, and then heading directly to the Dome to go to the Knights Flames game on Saturday.
Okay. Are you working or are you just going to come as a fan?
No, we've both got tickets.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, you enjoy Vegas, boys. You behave. Okay. I mean that. Adrian, behave. You guys be good. Only a little bit of karaoke, all right?
Oh, I've already got a spot picked out.
Where are you going?
Ellis Island is the...
Ooh, Ellis Island is a good spot. I vouch for that. If you like karaoke, which I'm, you know, could hit or miss. But Ellis Island does have a great spot for karaoke. That I can vouch for.
And barbecue.
And the barbecue. Ellis Island is one of the best values in Vegas. So that's I am all for you guys doing that.
Excellent.
All right. Well, travel safe to Vegas, boys. Be safe. But it's great to hear from you, Dano. I'm glad that you guys made it. And I'm glad that you guys were able to do the trip again. I'm glad you were able to make it work. And be safe. But have some fun in Vegas, hey?
Absolutely.
See you, Adrian. Be well, boys.
See you later.
See you guys. See you back at the Dome. That's Dan and Adrian in Utah. You know Wheels at the Dome, one of your ushers. Adrian in security and as an usher, just awesome dudes, and they do that trip. If you were watching the Sportsnet telecast, Les put them on just before the start of the third period, and just awesome dudes, and always so cool to see them at the on the road following the Flames. So be safe in Vegas, though. Like, yeah, not safe, you know what I mean? Like, be like responsible-ish in Vegas. 403-240-4444. That's your phone number. Got three lines open right now if you want to chat on this Tuesday night following a 3-1 loss to the Utah Hockey Club. Let's say hello to George. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight, bud?
I'm okay, man.
Good. It was very cool to hear from Eugenio first and then Dan and Adrian, man. I saw that. I saw that intermission, the interview they did with Ryan Leslie. That's awesome. That's so cool that they've been able to do what they've done this year in terms of their travel and going and watching the team. So that's awesome, man. That's cool. I wish I could do more of that. I've been, the last couple of years have been very, very busy personally for me. So it's been a little bit since I've gone to see an NHL game live. I hope to change that next season, though. So, but yeah, that was very cool to see.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know, buddy. What can I say? It's disappointing, but you know, they play. They play as much as they can. I don't want to harp on it too much, but I can't understand why that wasn't called a good goal, and that was the league apparently that called that. And I mean, I saw video and I saw a photo that to me was pretty conclusive. So I don't get it. I don't know why the league decides that they don't like Calgary scoring goals. But here we go again.
Again, like it was from what I saw, and you know, I try to call it like it is in my own head, and what I see, I try not to you know, take a pro or anti approach. I try in instances like this to be objective and. You know, for instance, I thought that the Zeri goal that got called off on Thursday should have counted. I thought that was a bunk call. And I thought that the goalie interference call that they ended up waving off on the Flames, I thought that was the right call. But in this instance, I think common sense tells me it's a goal, but unfortunately, you need to have, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the evidence that says it is a goal. I did not see the white ice conclusively enough on my angle, and maybe I didn't see enough angles, or maybe you saw a different one or saw it differently or whatever. And I'm not even saying that you haven't, and that I'm right. I'm not even trying to get in an argument about it. I was like, I think that's a goal, but I'm not sure if they're going to call it a goal. And that's kind of where I am on that one, but I get it. Like, that's a third goal, a third no goal in 4 games on the Flames. And I get how that could be extremely frustrating.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Like, full transparency, as big as a Flames fan as I am, and we all know how big of a Flames fan I am, I really, honestly, when it comes to things like that, whether it be like illegal hits or bad plays or no goals or interference, whatever you want to say, like, I try to stay as unbiased as possible. Like, so many times this year when Calgary has gotten into taking certain penalties and people have said, oh, the refs are screwing the play. No. Like, certain penalties they've taken were penalties. Even the Dallas game, no matter which way you feel, one of those goals, you know, rightfully so, got called off. The other, not so much, you know. In this instance, I saw a still picture and I saw a video, in my opinion, take biases aside, that puck was in. The league obviously felt differently. All I can say at this point is I disagree, but it's, you know, it's what it is. But trust me, I'm not one of those fans.
No, I know. I wasn't. Yeah. Trying to suggest that at all, George.
No, I know you're not, but I kind of want to make that clear, because I know there are a lot of fans like that, and then they deny that they are, and I'm not, you know, I'm not one of those.
Well,
people,
I mean, but so. You're a fan, and but I mean, like, I get it. Like, you're a fan, and you have seen the league call off now 3 goals against your team in the last 4 games. Like, I would understand feeling a little bit raw on that and a little bit distrustful perhaps of whether or not the league has the team's best interests in mind. Like, I get it. But I do think that in this case, there wasn't the conclusive evidence that I, from how I understand the rule, I didn't see the conclusive evidence that it crossed the goal line, but that's not to suggest that what you saw is wrong or what somebody else saw. Even I was talking to Mick and Megan Mickelson when we were texting during the game, said that, you know, from what she saw, she had an angle that she fully believes the puck is in. And I believe her. I just, from what I saw, I didn't see the conclusive evidence that said beyond a shadow of a doubt it's in. And that's what you would have needed in that situation. So, and again, it sucks because that's a bunch of goal reviews that have gone against the Flames here recently.
Yeah, and the thing that makes it 1,000 times worse is during a critical playoff race. This isn't like Game 3 of the season or, you know, Game 4 of the season. We're talking about like every point matters. That's what makes it so much more infuriating. You know what I mean? You can almost kind of shake your head at it Week 1 of the season, you know, 3 weeks to go in the season. And every point's critical. It's that's much more infuriating and feels that much more of a negative effect. But anyway, we move on from that. You know, Eugenio said it, like no matter how you want to feel about how this team is going the direction, you have to be proud of them. Even tonight, they didn't have their best game, but they tried. They pushed really hard to try tie the game. They just couldn't do it this time around. And, you know, I believe it was Morgan Frost they talked to after the game saying, look, you know, we believe in all that, but at the same time, you can't keep coming from behind. And that's, those are true words. I mean, you can't keep falling behind. That's on the team. And, you know, you're just not, every time you fall behind, you're not going to come back every single game. It's just not going to happen, especially the team that can't score goals. So,
well, and also, I mean, you know, you as the Flames were in a situation yesterday on Monday where, look, the Avalanche threw her into cruise control there, and so you got the benefit of a really good team, you know, just trying to close out a game without, you know, you could kind of tell that the Avs were just trying to get out of Dodge, get the win. They had the 2-goal lead, and they kind of felt like, okay, maybe we can get out of here by kind of just throwing it into second gear for the rest of the period. That wasn't the case tonight. The Utah's as desperate as Calgary is, and Utah doesn't believe that they're out of this race as much as you and I might, and I don't think Utah's going to make the playoffs. They don't believe that. They feel like there's still everything to play for, right? And so they're only 2 points back at Calgary. And so they're looking at it and saying, hey, you know, if Team A or Team B stumbles, we've got an opportunity to close the gap. So let's keep on putting desperate efforts on the ice. And they put a desperate effort on the ice tonight. And so you didn't have the same type of situation where maybe the other team that's pretty home and cooled in the playoff race threw it into cruise control. You had a desperate Utah team, and they fought hard to preserve the lead.
Yeah, and you got Calgary coming off a back-to-back and a very hard, like, that had to take the wind out of Calgary last night. You could see them after overtime how exhausted they were. Like, Kadri was huffing and puffing on the bench. So, you know what I mean? You got to remember that, too. They came off that game, and I'm sure they didn't have much gas left in the tank tonight, but, you know, they pushed forward and tried anyway. What can you say? A final one for you here, Patty, and I'll let you get on to other callers. But I still kind of – I'm baffled about what's happened with the Wranglers. It's been a tale of two seasons. They were like a complete wagon in the first half of the season, and it seems like they can never win a game now. They'll probably make the playoffs, but I'm kind of looking at the standings here, and they're not like home and cooled. Like
by no means are they home and cooled. The problem with the Wranglers here is that they've lost a lot of guys, and they're not getting those guys back. They might get Klapka back, but generally, like, they're not getting Hunt back. Hunt's up for the rest of the season. And that's one of their most important players. Maybe Klapka come the end of the season. But I don't think the Flames are going to send him back with kind of the way he's played here over the last little bit. So yeah, it's tough sledding. And you know, Devin Cooley hasn't been quite as strong compared to where he was in the first half of the season. They have lost a lot of their scoring, and their defensive game seems to have really taken a step back. So yeah, they were a wagon early. And let's also not forget that this team has gone through a lot of, like, that coaching staff has gone through the ringer too. And I mean, Joe Cirelli is a first time coach, first time head coach anyway in the NHL. And so that can't be the easiest thing to be dealing with if you're the Wranglers. So you know, there's a lot of things that go into this, but yeah, it's been a, it's been a tough sledding stretch for them too.
Well, hopefully they do make it, and that, like, you know, in the event that the Flames don't make it, which seems very likely now, you know, that people at the Dome can have, besides the Hitmen, you know,
hey, don't count out the Hitmen. That's a wagon of a Hitmen team. Like, I cannot wait to see them potentially in a third round series against Medicine Hat. Like, if we can get Medicine Hat
and go all the way.
Medicine Hat and Calgary in an Eastern Conference final would be awesome. So, but yes, I do. It would be good if the Wranglers could also make the playoffs. And hey, Flames aren't done yet either.
Fingers crossed for all three, buddy. That's all I got for tonight, my man. Hope you have a good night. Hopefully we'll talk on Thursday night, okay?
Okay, Georgie, appreciate it, pal. 403-240-4444. That is your phone number as the Flames fall 3-1 in Utah to wrap up this three-game road trip as we say hello to Anand. What's up, Anand?
Good evening, Patty. Happy, you say happy April Fool's Day. Did you get caught by anything surprise?
No, and we were a staunch no April Fool's zone today. So, did not get duped.
All right, good to know. I don't think I got duped either. How are you this evening?
I'm okay, man.
Yeah, I'm okay too. Tough game to watch. So I have a question for you. So that the goal that got called back, mm-hmm. I saw one of the angles that it kind of crossed the line. But what are these specifics? Like, I know you talked about it, you need to see a bit of white as, is there like a specific dimension or how much part of the white as you should see to become conclusive?
You need to see clear separation between the puck and the red line for them to overturn a no goal call on the ice, and so that is why that one didn't get called back. And again, I've seen as many angles as I think I can see. I haven't seen that, and I'm not suggesting that it's not frustrating, and I'm not suggesting the Flames haven't been potentially jobbed on a few calls here recently, but at least one. But that one, it was close. Common sense tells me it was probably a goal, but I didn't see the criteria that you'd need to see, or that I think you'd need to see to overturn a goal. To call it a goal when it was called no goal on the ice.
Yeah, fair enough. It's just a bit confusing because, you know, I mainly followed cricket a few years back and soccer too. It kind of goes very different sports. So I just wanted to see.
Well, cricket's got the what's it, the Snicko?
They've got the Snicko. You can see like the edge, so it goes in waveform.
Yeah.
Or you have the ball tracker where you can see where it bounced to, so that kind of thing. And then soccer now has the goal line technology, which there was maybe some kind of newer technology in hockey as well, where you can maybe conclusively.
Again, I'm sure there is. I'm sure that the technology would be very, again, not easy to implement, but possible to implement. Like, I think that it's 2025. Like, look at the things we can do in 2025. I'm sure that they could come up with some sort of technology that could determine whether or not definitively a puck crossed the goal line. So I have to believe that it's there. And that way, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what Mick saw or what George saw or anybody, right? We just know that it's either a goal or a no goal. And we try, like, that seems like a really easy fix, but it doesn't really seem like it is going to be coming anytime soon.
Yeah, I wish that was a definite answer so that we didn't have to ask questions and argue. My second question for you, but do you think maybe the Flames struggled against Utah Hockey Club like three times this season? What do you think was different from the Flames compared to the Utah Hockey Club?
I think they struggle a little bit with their speed. Utah's a really up-tempo team. They've got a lot of good speed. And so I think that has been a little bit of an issue for them. They've had a little bit of trouble with how quickly they transition the puck. And I think you saw that for a good chunk of period number one into period number two. So I think that's the main thing that I would say is they do struggle a little bit with teams that play with that much tempo. Now, a team like Utah does play with that tempo, which can also leave them susceptible sometimes to making mistakes. But, you know, Utah, for the most part, was pretty dialed in with their details tonight. And so, you know, I think that would be the biggest area that, you know, I would say Calgary has struggled with against this Utah group, which beat them all three games this year.
Gotcha. Fair enough. And final question for you now, probably that the Ottawa playoffs are dwindling down slowly and maybe a little bit of higher climb now. Do you think they'll start to focus on maybe resting a few players?
Not yet, Anand. They're still mathematically alive, and it's not just mathematically alive, but they're also you know, they're still alive. And while their odds may be thinner tonight than they were after last night, you know, this is not yet time. Like I think based on what I know about Ryan Huska, I don't think there will be any talk of that or any possibility of that until there's no mathematical chance they can make it. I think that we'll be seeing the Flames put this right down to the wire. And you know, if they get eliminated, and there's still games to play, then I think that you'll see them, you know, whether it's a potential debut for a Zane Parekh, who, by the way, Zane Parekh had two goals, including the overtime winner and an assist. He was in on all three goals, including the OT winner to save Saginaw's season. They go into Erie and win 3-2 in overtime, and Zane Parekh had a star-making performance, or just not a star-making, but a star performance. So they are now down 2-1 in that series to Erie. So huge night for Zane Parekh. But, you know, if they, I think they're going to sign Adar Suniyev. And so if they sign him and they end up burning a year on his entry level and he's eligible to play, then, you know, if Suniyev is an option, then I think it would be late. And once they're eliminated, if they're eliminated, that type of stuff. So I think that's a possibility, but it would have to be once they're done.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I was tracking the Saginaw score. I was watching checking the score of Calgary, Hedman, Wranglers, and Flames all together tonight. So, yeah, thanks for that update. All right, thanks, Pat. Have a good night, and talk to you on Thursday against the Anaheim Ducks.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You too, pal. Appreciate it, Anand. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text lines open at 960-960. If you want to talk, why don't you call now? It is last call for phone calls, but there's still time if you want to chat. 403-240-4444. Text line still wide open. Lots of text to get to on this Tuesday night as well. Flames fall just short in Utah. 3-1 the final score. Utah sweeps the season series against the Flames. 74 down, 8 to go for Calgary. Last call for phone calls. If you want to jump on hold, do so now. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you around the corner. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
And we're breaking down a tough one for the Flames tonight. They end up falling by a 3-1 score to the Utah Hockey Club. Utah sweeps the season series in the first year of their existence, and coupled with a Blues win, rather, over Detroit tonight in overtime, the playoff math becomes a little less rosy for the Flames than it was after the Colorado win on Monday. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is time now for your absolute last call. If you're on hold, stay there, but if not, it is last call for phone calls. So if you want to jump in, now is the time to do so, to get in hold. We'd love to hear from you still, but last call for phone calls on this Tuesday night. Let's head back inside the Flames locker room for a final time. Check in with Joel Farabee. Your hardest working Flame tonight is selected by Megan Mickelson. His thoughts following a 3-1 loss to Utah.
You're on your team tonight, Joel.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we gave ourselves a chance to win. Obviously, you know, just couldn't figure out their goalie. Thought he played pretty well, but you know, it's that time of the year where I think, you know, you gotta find a way to get a bounce, or you know, find a way to tie it up, and you know, just fell a little bit short.
Why did it take a while for you guys to find your game tonight?
I think we just you know, puck pace and trying to be a little cleaner. You know, I thought that first period we kind of just struggled to move the puck up the ice, and once we did that, we, you know, I felt like we kind of controlled the game. And but yeah, I think just a little bit of a slow start, and it's tough in this league when you get behind.
Is it that third period? I mean, you guys had a ton of chances. Is that a positive that you can take from this game?
I mean, yeah, I guess, but not really. I mean, it's like I said, it's time of year. You know, you got to find a way. So you know, you can't really feel good about it. You know, there's no time to, you know, be giving up wins at this time of the year.
Does it help knowing that you guys are, you know, busy schedule right back at home in a couple of days?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't. It sucks, but you can't dwell on it. You just gotta, you know, gotta just focus on tomorrow. That's all you can really do.
Joel Farabee, his thoughts after this one, 3-1 loss in Utah. The Flames will travel on Wednesday, will not practice. Their next time on the ice will be morning skate Thursday ahead of the game against the Anaheim Ducks. Let's get back to the text line at 960-960. Lots more text to roll through. This says, I did not see White either on that no goal, not enough to overturn a no goal call. This says, getting swept by Utah this season is disappointing. Agreed. This says, Dave in Calgary, Vladar lost both games against Vegas earlier this year, so save Wolf for Thursday, for Saturday, and go Vladar on Thursday. That's kind of what I'd do. I would go, I'm like 60-40. I'd go Vladar against the Ducks and Wolf against the Golden Knights is what I'd do. Vladar's winning games. He's 5-1-1 in his last 7 starts. Wolf's still your number one guy. That's the way I do it. Lex in Galician says, can the NHL have better cameras in the nets from the top-down angle specifically? That would be great. Dwayne says, regarding technology for goals, I think I heard somewhere the shape of the puck deters that. I still think it's 2025. Then they could probably figure something out. This from Rob in Vancouver, who says, Pat, does Craig Conroy need to be more careful about signing depth players to contracts years or months before their contracts expire? Both the Sharon Govich and Pahal contracts aren't looking great as of right now. You know, it's a fair question. I still think the Sharon Govich signing is one that I understand, and I do think that the merit was there. I know that it's not looking great with the way things have gone for Yegor this year, but I still understand the reasoning behind going down that road. Pahal, yes, has struggled, but that one, he's in the end, Pahal's a third-pairing D-man, and that's a third-pairing D-man contract. You know what he is. If he needs to be a healthy scratch, he can be a healthy scratch. And if he is going to be your third pair right shot defenseman, he can do that job as well. I don't think the Pahal one isn't worrying to me at all, because we know exactly what Pahal is as a player. But yeah, I can understand why the Sharon Govich one would make you a little apprehensive as a Flames fan, knowing the season he's had and the big contract he's going to take into account. That being said, I do believe Craig Conroy is going to be even more judicious going forward in terms of the type of contracts he signs and some of the guys that he signs. That's why I really do believe that, you know, this year in unrestricted free agency, I'm not expecting Conroy to be very busy. I think that instead of, you know, signing some depth players in unrestricted free agency, I think there's a better chance that he leaves the door open for some younger players to have an opportunity to make the team next year. And that's why I think, for instance, a Joel Hanley, I still think that there's a better chance than not, at least as of right now, that they decide not to bring Hanley back next year and decide to, you know, shake his hand, say, hey, you were outstanding for us and thank you for all that you did, but we're going to go in a different direction. And so, and if they do that, you can understand why. You get the reasoning, right? So, yeah, we'll see, but I do think that being more judicious with UFA deals is going to be one of the things Conroy focuses on going forward. This says, I find it crazy how much people are turning on Wolf. This game had nothing to do with them, and he made huge saves in the first half of the game when they were getting outplayed. Don't know if he went on Twitter at all recently, but so many people are blaming him and saying he's too short again, all of which is nonsense. I agree completely. I have no idea how you can point the finger at Dustin Wolf in this game. It is what it is. I can't control thoughts. Grady says, Pat, don't think they're out of it, despite some of the doom and gloom from some callers and texters. I'll donate $100 to a charity of your choice if they don't make the playoffs. Go Flames, go. Tell you what, I'll donate it regardless for some positivity on the night. I'll make it a charity of your choice, Grady. But if it's my choice, Special Olympics Calgary would be who I would be donating to. But if you, but do it your choice as well. But Special O Calgary would be who I would be donating to. This from Julie in BC. Megan saw, she saw a sliver of white ice in one angle on her monitor. Do you know if you saw that same angle? That should be enough to call it a goal. Also, blue is no longer my favorite color. I hope I never have to see that logo again. That's from Julie in BC. I didn't see that, and I'm not saying Megan didn't. I just didn't see that myself in the looks that I saw. This says, Pat, look at what Kuzmenko's doing in LA. He's getting top power play minutes. Yeah, Kuzi has turned into a pretty important player for the Kings. He took a while to get his legs, but since that time, Kuzmenko's actually turned into a pretty productive player. Kuzmenko had a goal and an assist in a 4-1 Kings win over Winnipeg tonight in LA. Tom says, tough loss. Feels like the end after the boys have showed a lot of heart this year. I know they'd never do it, but my one off-season wish is they buy out Huberdeau. Why would they? What? Why? And that's not even to suggest that Huberdeau has been incredible as a member of the Flames. We all know that generally he's struggled since being with the Flames, although he's having a significantly better year this year and has been one of their best players this year. But why buy him out? There's still 6 years left on that deal. Like, what? That's 12 years of Huberdeau on your cap. I don't agree on that one. I don't know why you would want to be buying out Jonathan Huberdeau. I get it that it, you know, 10 and a half, but the cap's going up, and I think you'd much rather have Huberdeau on your team with the way he's playing, even at $10.5 million, than have dead money on your cap for 12 years. Like it would be for Huberdeau. Brad in Bridgeland says, you've got to credit Utah for playing a pretty tight game overall, but the Flames only generated one high danger chance in the first two periods, which doesn't indicate a desperate team fighting for points. They're 2-2-1 since they got back from that New York trip. Assuming they continue at this clip, seems like they're destined once again for that mushy middle. At this point, the deficit is just too much, but this team has no quit, and that is commendable. Yeah, and you know, this might be a night where, you know, that is one of the big setbacks that makes it too steep a hill to climb. We shall see. And yeah, they did struggle. And I don't think it was a lack of desperation. I think it was more just, hey, this is a tired group, but third game in four nights and second half of back-to-back. Sometimes you don't have it. And they didn't for the first 35 minutes or so of this hockey game. But then again, dug deep, found a way in the third. Mandeep at BK Beaufort Liquor. Keep up the amazing work. Where do I start? Proud of this team this season, showing what they have thus far. My biggest takeaway from tonight is the captain. I love Backlund. Don't get me wrong. Great person off the ice and everything he does for the city, but he's killing this team. He has no speed and just shoots at the goalie right in the chest whenever he crosses the blue line. He needs to step up and be a difference maker. His defensive game also isn't what it once was. Don't get me wrong. I know he's coming back from an injury, but he's killing him right now. Hate to have this hot take because I do like him as a player, but he's no captain. Just my opinion. Thank you so much, Patty. Keep killing it on Flames Talk. And what did you think of that no goal call? I knew Toronto was going to call it no goal. Classic Flames luck. Go Flames, go. Looks like they're looking to catch the Wild. If anything, those Blues are on a heater. Yeah, I don't agree on Backlund. He's not killing them. I thought that line, Backlund, Coleman, and, you know, they had Farabee on it. Near the end, they had Sharon Govich on it to start, but I thought that line, any of the lines that Backlund was centering tonight, I thought some of Calgary's better lines. So no, I don't agree. I really don't agree that Backlund's killing him. I think that he's definitely having trouble on the faceoff dots at night, dot at some nights. And he definitely had a rough night in the faceoff dot tonight. But is he killing them? No, I disagree completely. As for the no goal, we talked about that. And nonetheless, Mandeep, you're a beauty. This from John and Deer Run. Are we blaming Conroy for not giving the Flames enough scoring? Like, why are they so low? I mean, no. Conroy has a big picture plan for this team. And that big picture plan includes more than just this year. So going out and acquiring, trading for scoring at the trade deadline wasn't part of the MO for the team this year, wasn't part of the long-term plan. And so I don't think blaming Conroy for where they are is, this is a team that is still building. This is a team that isn't just about this year. So instead of giving up assets at the deadline to try to just go all in for this year, they decided to stand pat. And I think that was the most likely scenario and remains the most sensible scenario for where this team is and for where this team is most likely going. So, no, I do not think Conroy is to blame for the lack of scoring. I think more than anything else, this team plays a certain brand of hockey, and that brand of hockey makes generating offense very difficult on most nights. I think that is far more of a far more of what we're talking about than, you know, Conroy not going out and getting scoring. And that brand of hockey is the best opportunity the Flames have to win games. And it's the main reason, in my eyes anyway, why they have won the amount of games they've won this year and why on April 1st they're still in playoff contention. This reads, Pat, it's been a while since I texted, so I haven't forgotten about you. Still listen nightly after every game. Tough loss tonight, and since the Dallas game last week, the writing seemed like it was pretty much on the wall for the Flames' playoff hopes, but the fact they were able to get this close to a wild card spot when the rest of the league wrote them off at the start of the year, I can call this season a step in the right direction. The pieces are there. Just need more power forwards and centermen. I have full confidence Conroy will fill the cupboards in the offseason and land the right prospects. Looking forward to what the future brings for the Flames. P.S. Wheels and Adrian are true beauties and buds. I've been enjoying their trip vicariously through social media and with Ryan Leslie's interview. I enjoyed hearing the double dip on TV and on the show tonight, so that was my highlight tonight. That comes from Kirk in Pine Ridge. Thank you, Kirk. That's awesome. Gord says, good evening. Currently, the Flames sit 14th in goals allowed in the NHL and 29th in goals scored. Don't know what the shot ratio is, but they do outshoot a lot of teams. Essentially, their forwards fit the dime a dozen category. Maybe two of them are top six on a top eight team, but only maybe. It's hard to know who would be the second guy. Draft is coming. Recognizing that Conroy inherited a mess, I would hope that he takes only forwards, only scorers, never mind what level, guys who can finish. You can teach systems. You can teach defense. You can teach niceties. You can't teach skill or instinct. I know you're going to have to get lucky for this to work, but there is at least a chance. Witness Fleury and Johnny Hockey. Otherwise, hockey isn't going to be much fun for a long time. Finally, this says, the Pat, tell Team Tank that that ship has sailed. No way they finished bottom 10 now, and I was Team Tank all year until the New York swing. After that, the tank was over. The mushy middle doesn't matter when you don't have your own first pick. There you go. That's the text line at 960-960. By the way, Grady fired me a Facebook message. I know Grady because Grady used to be a spin instructor and is an absolute beauty. And look at that. Grady T did the $106 donation to Special Olympics Calgary. That is awesome. Thank you for doing that, Grady. That's very nice of you. You didn't have to do that, but what a class act you are. Dude's an absolute beauty, so that is very cool. Great stuff on the text line tonight at 960-960. One more call before we wrap up Flames Talk postgame. It's Steinberg along with you wherever you get your podcast. Flames lose 3-1 in Utah. K-Dog is wrapping us up on the phone lines today. What's up, Kenton? How we doing?
Patty, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, dog. How are you?
You almost lost me there. It's 25 minutes on hold, but that's what you get for falling in at 11:05. So I should have known better. I wasn't looking at the clock. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
So for the first thing, the game, I mean, what are you going to say? Like, it's just, we're just right there, eh? And we're still right there. And these goalies the last month have just been insane. I'm absolutely praying that Darth Vader, Vladar there, I hope he signs in the summer for 3x3, if they go to him and say, hey, we're going to give you 20 games for the next 3 years, not a heavy workload, but we need you to work in tandem with Wolfie. Are you willing to do that? And I'm praying he says yes.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how that goes. We had a big, long conversation about that on Flames Talk this afternoon. Vickers and I did. And you know, I've done a 180 myself in terms of where I am on what I think Vladar's future should be. I'm far more of the opinion now than I have been all season that re-signing him is the way to go for the Flames. The question becomes, K-Dog, is that what Vladar wants? And I'm not saying it's not, but does Vladar prioritize the potential to play more, or does he prioritize, you know, staying in a place that he's very comfortable in Calgary? And I think that is, you know, that needs to be taken into account. Does he look at this and say, I want to stay in Calgary and I'm okay being an understudy to Dustin Wolf? Or does he look at it and say, you know, I'd like to see if there's a potential for me to play more elsewhere. And you can ask me where that might be. And I think that there are some spots that you could look at in the Eastern Conference that might give him an opportunity to play a little bit more. And maybe a 3x3, like you're saying, is enough to incentivize him to stay. I think keeping Vladar from a Flame standpoint, I've said many times that the opposite. I've said many times, I think that, you know, especially in the first half of the season, I said, you know, I think shaking hands, I don't think you should trade him at the deadline, but maybe shake hands at the end of the year, say, hey, thanks for all the service, but we're going to go in a different direction. I'm not there anymore. I really think that there's a genuine case, good case to be made that the best move for the Flames is to re-sign Vladar if that is what Vladar wants to do. And that, in my eyes, is kind of the million-dollar question here.
Yeah, no, that's a very good take. I just thought of something when you said about Eastern teams. Could you imagine him going to Philly? And then
Philly's
Rick
a team Talkett, that I wonder about, yep.
Yeah, Rick Tocchet is a coach, man. That'd be awesome. I'm not a huge Philly guy, but
Rick Tocchet's in Vancouver.
Yeah, he's going to be leaving there, though, I'm pretty sure.
Sounds like no. Elliot Friedman reported today that sounds like Vancouver is either going to use the team option that they have on Tocchet, or they're going to find a way to sign him to an extension.
That guy's like an Eiserman in Detroit, Tocchet in Philly. It just makes sense, eh?
What, one day I could see him back there for sure.
The Eiser plan, what are we in year there? Year 7, 8? They haven't even played in the playoffs in the new building.
No, they have not. And I mean, they probably aren't going to this year either, unfortunately. And that loss to St. Louis tonight didn't help.
Yeah. St. Louis going on this run, like, it's unheard of. And I can't believe it. I feel like screaming every time I hear St. Louis won. Like, it's got it. That's what's killing us. You know, we're analyzing things to death, and I know we still have a chance, but like St. Louis has been absolutely killing us.
Yeah, I know that there were definitely some who felt like the Blues might be the team that could end up being the group that ends up kind of like split in the middle, and boy, they have they've gone on an incredible run. Like, there's really nothing more you can do than tip your hat to them. I mean, this is ridiculous.
2019 again, eh?
What's that?
Yeah.
It feels like it. Does it not feel like 2019 with what they're doing right now?
Hey, Patty, I got to talk to you about the Saturday night 8. I don't think you get Roland on the phone till about midnight there, but there's some pretty sweet calls that come in late at night on the West Coast teams on Saturday.
Yeah, there can be those late games can be some interesting calls.
This is going to be a funny thing, actually. If Logo and Rosie are listening, when I talked to him in the fall for the first time there,
yeah,
they gave this guy, his name was Roger, way too much. Like, Rosie gave him about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Logo was trying to stop him, and Rosie just kept egging him on and on and on. It was the greatest thing I ever heard. And then I got on the phone, and I'm like, by God, you know, that's my old farming name. It's my old neighbor, Roger. Roach Clip. We called him 007. Like, if you're a chuck wagon guy, 007 Roger. So you got to give those guys, Patty, give them, just don't smush them right away. Give them like at least.
No, I can't do it. If you're into it, if you're into the sauce, I can't do it. Like there's been.
Okay.
And there was there was one recently, I think it was the Dallas game, and Neil's a regular caller, yeah. And I like, but he was blasted. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, had some hot rate wine there. Yeah. No, but I totally understand your stance too. Like, It brings a smile to my face when I hear a guy driving on the Deerfoot, his son sending a text into you there after the game. So I know the young fellows are listening. It's pretty good to keep it professional for sure.
Exactly.
And you know how I like the show in the morning and stuff, like Cron there and Rosie and look, they're so much fun. And GVP, I'm forgetting a lot of guys, but I wish that I could get up at 6 and follow that show live, but I have to come on like a couple hours later and get it on repeat there. But I enjoy every minute of it.
Good.
And you guys are all doing a good job there. And last thing I might leave you with there is actually, you know, people, they'll phone in and, well, maybe their favorite caller's, not Roger, Robert, or maybe it's Georgie or Anand, some guys like that Anand guy. My favorite caller when she calls in to you guys is Sylvia. Sylvia, if you're listening, and I know you are, you dear heart, can you please phone in like every second game? Because you have the greatest calls. You asked her there how she was doing that one night, and she's, well, just like a typical older person. Well, I'm still above ground. That was classic. Oh, and one other thing, that Dale guy from Drumheller, I'm surprised I don't know him. And you being a big hockey guy, can you tell me if the Drumheller Dragons won tonight?
I don't know off the top of my head. I can quickly go take a look at the old AJ website, see if they did.
Sure.
Oh, well, they did. They beat Canmore 4-1 tonight.
Okay, Dale, here's the deal. We're both from Drumheller. I go to every Dragons game. Well, not every game, but I sit behind the visitor's bench in a wheelchair with a mustache and a cowboy hat. Come over and have a chat, because I'm like the other guys that said their last game. They really enjoyed your texting and your calling.
Can I say one thing about here? Maybe this will blow your mind on the Drumheller connection. Did you know that I had the privilege of doing color commentary on the first ever game the Drumheller Dragons ever played at the Drumheller Memorial Arena? It was one of the...
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was there. Jason Blank was right there in the press box with me.
J-Bone.
And,
yeah.
I will... it was so cool. It was, I think, I believe it was my first ever game doing color. Bob Farstad is the guy's name, doing play-by-play for a group called Any Sport, Anytime. And first ever game that they played as a brand new franchise in the AJHL.
That's almost 20 years ago.
Yeah,
now,
it would have been, because I was still in college at the time.
Yeah, no, it's good times and stuff. I really want to talk to Dale there. So Dale, if you want to go to the next Dragons game, I guess we're into the next series. I'll talk to you there. And running into you, like you talked about having a beer with that guy or a pop with that guy in the summer. I want to do the same thing. Like, I'm surprised my kids and I go to 9 or 10 games a year. And like, sometimes we'll see Beasley like on the corridor heading upstairs. I've seen Beasley like 3 times now.
Mm-hmm.
You have to enter the building somewhere. Like you must get there super, super early though. Eh?
Well,
like
on a weekday, I get there at about 3:30. Right. So, So I enter at the normal entrance, but, well, I guess I enter the media entrance, but
I guess I probably wouldn't run into you there. Where I'm going to run you guys down, is it Cowboys or maybe Grey Eagle, one of them casino nights?
Sure.
But no, and your show there is as golden as it is, you know, it's the best, but what I'd like to have maybe is a night or two, like maybe have like a logo or a Rosie, have them interact with you. And that would be a really cool, that would be a cool show. Like, it'd be like in the mornings when there's a group of them together, eh?
Perhaps.
Just some food they caught.
Perhaps we will, K-Dog. You have a good night, hey, buddy. Go Dragons.
Take care, Patty.
Go Dragons. I love me the Drumheller Dragons all day, every day. That'll wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. And also go Calgary Canucks, because they're rolling as well. That'll wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. That'll wrap us up on the text line tonight as we start to move towards the end of our Flames Talk postgame show this evening. 3-1, Flames fall on the road in Utah. Here's how we got to tonight's final score. It's time for the final summary as Utah opened the scoring in the first period. At 17:46 of the opening frame, Kevin Stenland made it 1-0 Utah, his 12th of the year from Alex Kerfoot and Ian Cole, and Utah led 1-0 after 20 minutes of play. To the second period, we go early in the second. Barrett Hayton scores what would turn out to be the game winner at 2:25. Hayton's 18th from Sean Dursey and Nick Schmaltz, and it was 2-0 Utah. Flames get one back in the latter stages of the second. Big goal from Rasmus Anderson at the 13-minute mark. Anderson's 11th unassisted to make it 2-1. And that was your score after 40 minutes of play. And that maybe gave the Flames a little bit of life. And they poured it on in the third period. Third game in four nights, second half of the back-to-back. And they put it all out there trying to find the equalizer. They could not. And then in the final 20 seconds, Utah seals it into the empty net. Clayton Keller at 19:42 scores his 25th. Keller from Dylan Gunther and Logan Cooley to get us to our 3-1 final score. Final shots were 33-28 in favor of Calgary. Flames go 0-2 on the power play tonight. Utah 0-1. With the man advantage. Your three stars in the building tonight. Number three, Alex Kerfoot. Number two, Barrett Hayton. And with an outstanding 32-stop performance. Number one star tonight was Carl Vemelka between the pipes for Utah. Hardest working Flame as selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Joel Farabee. With the loss, Flames fall to 35-27 and 12. They're back in action Thursday at home to Anaheim, while Utah improves to 34-29 and 12. They're back in action Thursday at home to Los Angeles. That'll start to wrap us up on our, that's our final summary, and that'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk postgame show tonight, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And because that's the final summary, that means for our broadcast crew tonight of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our co-host Maddie Rose, and for our outstanding producer Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg, and the next game for the Flames is coming your way on Thursday night. 7 o'clock face-off against the Anaheim Ducks, which means we'll be on the air at 6 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Final score from Salt Lake City tonight. Flames fall 3-1 to the Utah Hockey Club. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.